Genesis and the sixth chapter. Hadn't the Lord been good to us?
Amen.
Amen. I called one of my preacher friends in Oklahoma. Went out there and preached last year and going out there again. And this particular preacher is a deputy sheriff. And so he said, just pray for him down there. Told me about them two elementary schools. It's been hit in Oklahoma. And so we'll pray for these things. Then I noticed all the CDs were gone that we put on the table. And so, whenever you bring me the money for that, feller shouldn't go out of town, leave his CDs. But I want to tell you, all that money goes to a young missionary couple, Caleb and Kim Williams, as our full-time staff at the home office. He left his job and house and left their life back in September. And to come, he's my full-time associate and she's our full-time secretary. We have, on top of our ministries, there's something, get that off your conscience there, Brother Buchanan. And but I just want you to know that this goes all to that young couple. And they do the recordings, put it together, and that's one of the avenues that their income, God meets their need. And she's our secretary, and he's our associate, and they work hard. We have several meetings that we do, special meetings that I do, camp meeting, youth meeting, Bible camp, and some other things that I do throughout the year. They help me in those. And then the Lord's opened up doors for us, remarkably, overseas. I'm going to Uganda, Africa, to preach. A man over there has got a Bible college, two Bible colleges, one on either side of Lake Victoria. Maybe the largest lake in the world, I think, but a lot of them aquarium fish, pretty aquarium fish, come out of Lake Victoria. And man's asked me to come to Asia, to Thailand. An older missionary that was a friend of my father's, a church member at our church. The leper colonies in Asia. And the Lord put me in a season of prayer a year and a half ago. And I came out of that season of prayer and over and would end up, boom, all at the same time. They asked me to come to Uganda. A man asked me to come to Thailand. A man asked me to come to Peru. A man asked me to come to Honduras in Central America. And just all at one time, Brother Buchanan. And then God gave us our missionary. I carried young preachers to Albania, Eastern Europe, for 8 years. And at the exact same time, y'all met Aaron Wilson the other night. God called him. And so our Albania missions is fixing to really accelerate, and we'll be over there more than ever before. And so my point is, we've got a lot going on, and God's given us a young couple to help us. And that's where that's part of their income. The Lord gave us that wisdom, how they could make it. Not very many people have a burden to support home missions in America. And because a lot of their support that people, that churches give, is emotional and not spiritual. You show them a picture of a naked pygmy or show them a picture of a dying leper overseas somewhere, and they'll get a burden for it. The truth is, that kid out there riding his bike is going to hell. And a soul in America is just as precious as a soul. A soul in Alabama is the same as a soul in Albania. And technically speaking, America is not home missions. We're the uttermost part of the earth. We were where they were headed. Y'all ain't helping me right there. Home missions would be Jerusalem. And 2,000 years ago, the uttermost part of the earth, where they'd finally get to, that's us. Finally got to us. Can I get a witness right there? Hallelujah. We're the uttermost part of the earth. We're missionaries. You send people back to the other side of the planet, you're really sending them back to the home base. Closer to the home base. We're the uttermost part. Y'all look like uttermost heathen. This fits real good right here. Hallelujah. Honestly, I thank the Lord for this week. And how the Lord, and I'm willing for God to do whatever. If we're still having church on the 4th of July, I'll be jumping off that balcony. I'll be thanking God for it. I ain't scared. I ain't scared. I'm not trying to boast. Hope you don't misunderstand this. Probably the largest supporting church of my ministry is who I called and said I can't be there tonight. And if it's will, and it's spiritual, it ain't political, and that's good. And if it is, we'll find out, won't we? Yes, sir. That church, I'm just letting you know I ain't playing. The church that I call, where I was scheduled to be tonight, is the one that puts me in that Suburban. That's the third vehicle they've purchased and given to our family. Every vehicle over 30,000. And I just called the man and said, can't come. God's moving. I just wanted you to know that, you know, it I'm serious. It ain't a game. If it had been a 22-year-old pastor over in Kentucky with 11 members, that would have been easy. Can't come, son. But it's the biggest supporting church I have. I just want you to know, God, this thing ain't going to be convenient. If it didn't cost you nothing when you gave it, it ain't gonna mean nothing to him when he got it. He operates, James Langston said, he operates on a system of sacrifice. It's the only thing he'll recognize. His sacrifice. And I want to give y'all a verse. Don't turn there because that ain't where I'm at. I'm in Genesis 6. But I'm going to give y'all Hosea 6 just for you to go chew on. Because I know y'all didn't start praying last week, and I know that. Y'all been going hard at it for a while, specifically just for this. But I love Hosea chapter 6. I think it's verse 2. Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. Y'all ain't helping me. Go on the second mile. Then shall we know. If we follow, not just follow, but follow on. Going the second mile. That's what makes the difference. Said his going forth is prepared as the morning. He shall come unto us as the rain, the latter rain. That's the promise of revival. Amen. And we're having revival. Amen. Thank the Lord. Genesis 6. I preached Saturday in Atlanta. Christian school graduation. It's an honor to be there. That dear pastor is not that old, but he's come down with a disease and a sickness, and he's in a wheelchair. He's got a great church outside of Atlanta, and a big old thing. But he's got great integrity, but he can't hardly breathe, and he can't hardly go. And he parked his wheelchair right outside there in the hallway to walk in there. And had just enough to walk, and he's not that old. He's early 60s. And then walked back out. But was with him on Saturday. And then Sunday, I was up near Boone, or way beyond Boone, up near Mountain City. Young man put a tent on the side of a hill. He got saved 5 years ago out of crystal meth and crack. And him and his little wife, it's where I was all day yesterday, they pick up every kid on that mountain. Not just for Sunday school and drop off, I mean all week. Amen. He said that half of them daddy's in prison, the other half's cooking crystal meth. He said, we just take care of all these kids. Him and his little wife. Amen. So I was on the side of a hill yesterday in a tent. And the Holy Ghost was breathing all over them youngins.
Amen. 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 Thank you, Lord.
I told that boy, if you'll stay with it, God will touch you around here.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Amen. Amen. How y'all doing?
Amen.
Good to see you. Genesis chapter 6. The Bible said in Matthew 24, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. I believe we're in the last hours. I believe we're at the second coming. The nation of Israel's been reborn, and that's where we're at. 1948, Israel reborn. I find it remarkable that Brother Ray started at Camp Zion in 1949, like America's last shot. Because the drawing power of God in the 1900s has eased off the Gentiles and turned back to the Jews. A 2,000-year reversal. You put this man and his desire in the middle of the 1700s, you'd be reading about an awakening. You put him in the 1800s, you'd be reading about a movement to touch half the planet. And this church and these prayer meetings. I promise you one thing. If this prayer meeting and this revival meeting and this arrangement of preachers that God's got, if this was set in the 1700s or 1800s, there'd be 17,000 on the hillside. But it's just us. But that's who he's coming after, is us. That drawing power has turned 2,000-year reversal. 2,000 years ago, it turned from the Jews unto the Gentiles. Turned strong. And then, now, the turn of the century, World War I, prepared the land for the people, and World War II prepared the people for the land. Your false revival. Isn't it interesting that the devil's revival, the false revival, the charismatic Pentecostal tongue-speaking woman-dominated false doctrine, the false revival that's dominated the 19... Isn't it interesting, in 1904 was that Welsh revival, the last revival that shook a country. The last revival that had reverberations around the planet. Isn't it interesting? The last great revival was at the turn of the century. And it was the same year that a woman spoke in tongues in Los Angeles, California, and sparked the false revival.
Amen.
God is shutting down his Gentile revivals, and the Satan was kicking his up. All your false Bibles have come since the late 1st of 1900. All your cults, your charismatics, why was it quiet right there? Your charismatics, amen. 1 Corinthians 14, let your women keep silence in the churches. It's all right for you girls to talk. You're supposed to be able to fellowship. It's all right for you to testify. It's all right for you to praise the Lord. It's all right for you to call on God and pray, as long as you're under your proper authority. And you're not to teach men, you're not to usurp authority over men, and in matters of church business and church doctrine, you're not to have a voice. You ask your husband at home. If you ain't got a husband, you ask the Lord. He's your husband. And if I pastored again, now this would be misinterpreted, and I apologize ahead of time. I wouldn't let the women vote if I pastor again. This is because it's Bible. He said, let your women keep silence, and the men run the thing. I'm losing some of y'all. And all that was in the context. Now Paul's accused of being a male chauvinist. And I will be too after that statement. But I want to tell you something to all you girls, that religion and hell's the worst thing ever happened to a woman, and the gospel, the grace of God, is the most liberating thing ever happened to a woman. Only the Muslims will put you 20 paces behind wearing a veil. A Roman Catholic will put you up in a monastery wearing a veil. They're all hiding you and putting you into slavery. And all them Hindu religion, they'll beat you and rape you, don't care about you. Amen. Christianity sets you free. Christianity treats you like somebody. The Lord Jesus didn't see you as a goat or a dog or an object to be traded. Amen. He sets you free. The little woman was in the dust.
And they said, Moses and the law commanded that such should be stoned. What sayest thou? He didn't say anything. He just got down in the dust with it. Y'all ain't helping me. Said, but Jesus stooping down. Honey, she is a naked and ashamed and cast on the ground. Them Jews' religion mistreat a woman. Had her in the ground, on the dust, shame. And as she was laying there, ears red, hot, heart beating out of her chest, shame off the charts. The women of the city looking at her and the men of the city. And what if her grandmother was there? What if her sister was there and saw it? Shame off the charts in the dust. And they turned this thing over to a man named Jesus. You know, she listened to that. Woo! You know, for just a minute there, she's listening. She thought she was expecting stones at any moment. And instead, she hears them debating, discussing something. And they turned the whole thing over to a man. What are you going to do? What sayest thou? Jesus stooping down. I preach a little message right there. I may preach it in June or July if we're still here. On the stooping Savior. He didn't say a word. He just got down in the dirt with her. Next thing she... I'm going to need y'all to help me right here. She's laying in the dust expecting, so next thing she knows, a man named Jesus is down there in the dust with her. He's just down in there with her. Amen. And they had it wrong. They said, Moses wrote. I know Moses, but God's the one that wrote it. And I love how he's got his finger in the dust. Amen. Turned out he's the one who wrote the Old Testament. He's the one fixing to write the new one. Wonder if he's just warming up. Somebody said, what did he write? What did Jesus write? Who cares what he wrote? I'm just glad he wasn't done writing. I'm glad he's still writing. Amen. This thing could have ended with the law and the condemnation, honey. Ended with her death and eternal demise. But he wasn't done writing. It was in the context of speaking in tongues that he said for the women to keep silence in the church. That's interesting. How long would the modern day false revival go if all the women had to be quiet? You'd have to shut off most of the worship channels. It's the women that started the preaching. Well, I don't blame them. There ain't a man left amongst them. They've all permed their hair, whitened their teeth, gone all jewelry, turtleneck, curly. The men turned into women, so the women had to square their shoulders off and start preaching over there. Guarantee that's what Joyce Myers kicked it in. Huh? She's like, ain't a man left over here. Somebody's got to try something. How long would the false revival go if it actually had to line up with the book? No woman praying or prophesying, having her head uncovered. It's a shame. She's got to have power on her head because of the angels. That means she got to have proper power. They got to be a strong man. They got to be a head. A woman's supposed to be under her head, under her hair, and under her husband. Because of the angels. Them seducing spirit. Lesbian will hack her hair off and frizz it into a crew cut and get blonde frost tips on it, in case you was wondering. And their ears are uncovered. And they ain't got a man over them, and they ain't got a mantle over them, and they ain't got a power of God on them, and they ain't got the Lord Jesus over them. And they're uncovered. Ain't nobody covering for them. They're not covered. They're left uncovered. And Satan will have them in just a minute. That's why he's got the women of this nation. They've left the power. I want to be under the power that's going to protect me. Is anybody helping me? All right. I don't know where all that came from, but there you go. Now I'm in Genesis 6. And in these last days, in these last days. We're in the last days. And we're there. World War I prepared the land for the people. I love how they come in there and Sir Lawrence of Arabia. God let an Arabian get there 2 hours before the British general. And he was a British officer. But God let an Arabian come in there and drive them Turkish Muslims out of Jerusalem. Amen. And it got the land ready for the people. And then World War II got the people ready for the land. Hitler tried to kill them and all he did was revive them back to the homeland. And World War III is going to put the king on the throne. Oh yeah, I'll be there for that battle. Wanting to fight real bad but never get a chance. I'll be on a white horse and you will too. Somewhere behind the Son of God. Honey, and on his thigh the vesture dipped in blood and his name written called the Word of God. Out of his mouth goeth a sharp two-edged sword. Honey, when he rolls the veil back, honey, and the armies and nations gathered around Jerusalem, and the beast and the false prophet and the Antichrist. We got them all gathered around Jerusalem. I'll be on a white horse behind the Son of God, wanting to fight. By the way, he ain't some long-haired, white-robed, sissy-fingered, some little hippie San Francisco-looking thing. That ain't the Son of God. You mark your day. That ain't the Son of God, honey. And when the heavens are rolled back like a scroll, I'll be a wanting to fight and not get a chance. He'll open his mouth and out of his mouth will go that sharp two-edged sword. And with it he'll smite the enemy. He'll smite the nations. He'll smite the Antichrist, the beast, and the false prophet. And he's taking Jerusalem back over. Right there. I'm going to be in World War III. I just won't get a chance to fight. But I'll come riding in on a white horse. Right behind the Son of God. Yes, sir. And so we're there. Now, here's my interest tonight. Is to see what they had in the days of Noah is what we can have too. The bad as well as the good. Now the Lord is, the Holy Ghost done us a favor and already alliterated this thing. In the King James Bible. What'd they have in there? I'm in Genesis 6. And verse 4 said there were giants. Circle that. We're going to go with G's. The Lord done line them out. Circle that. There were giants in the earth in those days. Right? They had giants. As it was in the days of Noah. We got giants too. What else? And verse 5. And God saw. Well, giants wasn't the only thing there. God was on the scene too. God. Circle that in verse 5. God. And then what else did they have? Verse 8. Verse 8. Y'all looking at it? But Noah found what? Wow. There was some grace in the days of Noah. Satan's trying to hijack the human race and make it his. That's what he's doing today. There were giants there, but God was there. There's giants here, but God's here. They had grace then, and there's grace now. I'm giving you all these because I'll never get them preached. You can't preach a sermon here. You can't preach a sermon. And in verse 9, here's another in verse 9. These are the generations. That's why, Brother Buchanan, this may not be 1850. This may not be 1740. This may not be the 1600s, but we still got youngins. The drawing power of God may be strong on the other side of the planet getting them Jews gathered up and very little of it left for the Gentiles. But he had to leave somebody here to gather it up. Noah had some youngins and he still had to do the work of God. The whole world done gone wicked. Nobody got on that ark with him. Y'all know it's true. Nobody but his family. But what about them generations? That's why we got to do this. Because your boy's 17 and mine's 9. And I can't help it that it ain't the 1700s and the 1800s. It ain't even the 1900s anymore, honey. We're at the end of the end. But somebody's got to keep doing what God wants us to do, because the generations of children are behind us. Generations. Now look in verse 14. What else did they have? Verse 14. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Thank God for the cross. That was incorruptible wood, and so is Calvary. It was an ark, a picture of Christ, a picture of salvation, a picture of God. There's that ark, a salvation, a refuge to run into. Honey, they had an ark made out of gopher wood. They tell me the gopher wood is what they made their coffins out of, their caskets. Because you could put it in the ground and it wouldn't rot. I almost ran right there. Amen. Thank God. And honey, there's some things that you can bury, but they ain't going to rot. Woo! One of these days, this mortality is going to put on immortality. Amen. This corruptible is going to put on incorruption. We buried a lot of saints in the ground, but you wait until that caterpillar comes out of that cocoon. Amen. Spreads her wings in that glorified body. Hallelujah to God. Honey, they had the cross. Had a picture of the cross back then. They had a place to run to be saved. And we do too. I'm trying to give you all this. You can't preach a sermon around here. I'm in verse 21. What else did they have? There's a gathering. Verse 21, take thou unto thee of all food that is eaten, thou shalt gather it for to thee. They were gathering. They were gathering what they were gathering together what they needed. Amen. Well, that's what you've been doing, Brother Buchanan, these last 4 weeks around here. It's just been a gathering. What we're going to need to survive the storm. Woo! Just a gap. So do you see what they had? They had giants in those days. I'll preach on that. They had God in those days. I'm going to preach on that. They had grace in those days. I'm going to preach on that. They had generations. I ain't going to get a chance to preach on that. But we're doing what? Hey, Rusty J. Is that your boy? That's why we're doing this. I can't help it, there ain't 17,000 on the hillside. What's your boy's name, Rusty J? See, there ain't 17,000 out there on the hillside. But Jeremiah's over there. He needs to see a red-faced, sweaty, loud-mouthed preacher believe the word of God run by his pew. Somebody actually believe heaven's the other side of that blue veil. Hell's the other side of that crushed mantle. Somebody filled with the Holy Ghost. You get full of the Holy Ghost, honey. It'll make Calvary seem like it happened just a while ago. And the second coming's first thing in the morning. That's what the filling of the Holy Ghost will do for you. You'll think Calvary's the only thing that happened. And the second coming's the only thing going to happen. You ever get full of the Holy Ghost? Old Puritan said the gospel is such news that you never heard good news until you heard it. And after you heard the gospel, you never heard bad news. Woo, somebody won $590 million in the lottery last 2 days ago. And they've been talking about it. And you'd think that's good news. You ain't heard good news until you heard. Number one, Uncle Sam's going to get 300 of that. And then number two, the Bible said riches that are gotten by haste and not gotten by earning it, they said they take wings and fly away and they leave nothing but sorrows in your house. And I read in my Bible, it said flee riches. It's what Paul told all of his young preachers. Flee riches. You thought you'd heard the good news. You ain't heard good news until you heard what the Son of God did for you on Calvary's cross on a hill outside Jerusalem. And after you've heard the God, you ain't ever heard bad news. They say you got cancer. You say, what? It's the will of God. Wow. Wonder what grace is going to feel like in there. They say your youngins run off and you say, God knows where they're at. Oh, you ain't never heard bad news after you've heard the gospel. Because all things work together for good. All right. There's those things there. Let's try to hit three of them. They had giants. What did they have in the days of Noah? It's interesting to me. Matthew 24 said it was in the days of Noah. And then Luke 17, the same context,
said, as it was in the days of Lot. In the days of Noah, you got devils trying to sleep with men. In the days of Lot, you had men trying to sleep with angels. Brother, this is a demonic hour. This is a demonic hour. Now watch this in chapter 6, verse 4. There were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. Now there's two schools of thought here. Some say that was believers marrying unbelievers, and I've seen that. And then what I personally believe, and it really don't matter which way you believe, but I believe them were fallen angels, and they were coming in, and to the daughters of men, and they were trying to, I believe that Satan was trying to take over the human race, trying to make it his, trying to make it hell's race. Now, either way you believe, I'm not going to fuss with you, because either way, Satan was trying to take over the human race and make it his. Can I stop and say that he's trying to take over the human race today? Let me point out something to you real quick here just for a minute. You understand the two major sins of the day, if the devil was to have his way, there wouldn't be a human race in 50, 70 years? Abortion, and then all this perversion. All right, so if you got men with men, women with women, nobody's having a baby. And then you kill the babies on the way, there ain't going to be no more babies. And if you kill the babies on the way, and nobody has any more babies, when y'all get old and die, it's over with. The devil's trying to take over this planet. Youngins, there ain't no Martians out there. There ain't no life on other planets. God made the earth, made it his footstool, heaven's his throne, it's his feature. It's where he made his son out of the dust and put him there. It's where he put the first Adam, where he put the second Adam. Well, what's the universe doing out there? He wants you to know he's big. It is with the span of his hand, he meted out the measure of it. He do you a word study, and he flicked his fingers. God's so powerful, he didn't even have to spread his arms. He flicked his fingers and meted out the span of the universe. Honey, he flicked his fingers and made, and it's an ever-expanding universe. When he flicked it, set it in motion, it's still a-going, still a-growing. But he's so big, it's in the palm. The whole universe fits in the small part of the palm of his hand. I need somebody to help me right here. Amen. And the earth is where he set his affection. That's why Jerusalem's called a holy ground. Was that you told me that, Brother Buchanan? The first mention in your Bible of the word holy is where he told Moses, take your shoes off. You stand on holy ground. Amen. Why is that holy ground? Jerusalem. What makes it holy ground? Well, that's where he put his fingers. Whoa! God put his knees in the dust that he made, put his fingers in the dust. Adam probably did not have a belly button, children. Unless the Pillsbury Doughboy said, Adam didn't have a belly button, but the planet did. Right. Ezekiel talks about a nave. God reached in there. I had an old friend, preacher friend of mine, went to Israel 38 years in a row. He said to me, I believe where God put his fingers is where the tree of life came up. Said he couldn't help it. Put his fingers in the... He left some of that DNA in the dirt and the tree of life popped up. He also believed the very same spot where God pulled Adam out is the very same spot where he dropped the second Adam in the ground. In the cross. Right. Amen. Jerusalem, that's where he put his capital. It's where he put his cross. It's where he put his called, elect people, the nation of Israel. It's where he put his Christ. Amen. That's holy ground. We're heading over there in a little while. Amen. Somebody said, you ever been to Jerusalem? No, I had never been to Jerusalem. I don't want to see it under the curse. Amen. I'm going. Amen. Oh, I got a ticket paid for. Amen. And it ain't round trip because I ain't planning on coming back. Amen. I'm going. I don't want to see it under the curse. Myself. Amen. Amen. I'm spending my money going to Albania, trying to get sinners.
Amen.
So they go to the New Jerusalem with me one day.
Amen.
Holy ground. Now, I believe Satan was trying to hijack the human race and make it his. It's very interesting. The Bible said that Noah, in verse 9, was a just man and perfect in his what? Gene rations. All other flesh had corrupted his way. I dare you to do a word study. It's DNA. I'm at the end of verse 12. God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. That little DNA spiral. What is the devil messing with in this hour? The genetic code. Them scientists are the gods of this hour. They're trying to prove that we're God.
That's right.
And that God's not God. They're trying to find eternal life, immortal life. The Tower of Babel, they're trying to find a way to get to heaven without God. And the little DNA spiral is the modern day Tower of Babel. And they're trying to get to God, trying to get eternal life, live forever without God. They were messing, the devil had that power, he had that genius, he had that knowledge of the ways of God. And Brother Noah is the only one whose gene rations had not intermingled with that corrupt seed. That's why he got spared. It's also why God had no problem. This will help you understand. He's a merciful God. How could he drown and wipe out the entire human race? Because it was becoming hell's race. And he had no problem taking all them devils' offspring and shoving the whole thing off into hell. And he had to clean his planet. He had to clean it up. Noah's the only one perfect. And them scientists think they're so smart. Discovered genetics. Gene ticks. Did you know that it's so elementary to a child of God, it's the first book we study? The book of Genesis. It's right in front of you. How many thousands of years have we had the book of Jesus? And them scientists down at the university are so proud. They dug up a hog. Amen. Took his jawbone and said, "Lord, there was a naked man here 10 million years ago with an ape." You gotta be kidding me. We've had the book of Jesus ever since Moses wrote it. In the beginning, God created.
Amen.
Now, there were giants. Satan was trying to hijack the human race and make it his. Physically, that did not work. And I submit unto you tonight that he's trying to do the same thing tonight spiritually. He's entered into the bodies of our generation. This generation is demon possessed. He tried taking them over physically, and God wiped him off the map.
Amen.
That effort, that little project, God wiped it off the map. There's fixing to be another wipeout, not with a flood, but with fire.
Right.
And Satan now has entered into the bodies and taken over spiritually.
Right.
He has people's heart.
Right.
They love him. He has their mind. They think like he's took over their mind. He's took over their heart. He's took over their spirit. Our generation is possessed. You better believe that. When the number one best-selling book for children is Harry Potter, and the number one best-selling novel slash movie for all the young adults is Twilight. And somebody's buying that stuff for them. And somebody's telling them it's okay to read and go watch. Honey, what do you think the Antichrist is going to be when he gets here? He's going to be a dead, Satan-filled corpse. He's going to be a bloodthirsty. He's going to be a vampire. I personally believe the Antichrist is going to be that man of sin. Make that false peace treaty with Israel and all the Arabs. And he's going to go in there and sit on that throne.
And I think a Muslim sword's gonna chop him down, receive that wound to the right ear, the right side of his head and his right arm. Whoop! He's gonna be dead. Then Satan's gonna enter into him. Satan's always wanted to mimic everything God ever done. He wanted to have his own resurrection and have his own son. And the man of sin will become the son of perdition. And there will be a dead corpse animated by Satan's power, Satan in a man's body, thirsty for the blood of the human race. And they all tell me, and you brothers, listen, 3 weeks ago I was standing there in the place, and the pastor's wife, young couple in their 30s, she's hosting twilight parties at her house. Yeah, y'all come with me sometime. Just come with me a little while. See the shape our churches are in. You might be getting spoiled around here and taking it for granted. I hope not. There ain't 4 good churches left in America, and y'all get to be one of them. Y'all thank God for it. You don't deserve it. He's been good to you. That don't make you better than anybody. It just makes you better off. There's responsibility comes with that. She is hosting twilight parties. Pastor's wife. This thing's everywhere. And they say, oh, it's harmless. It's a love story. She loves that vampire. Dead corpse looking for blood. It's a love story. Well, honey, Jesus has had a love story that's unmatched. And Satan's always wanted to have his own. He's wanted to be loved. Worshipped. And honey, when he's a standing there, this whole generation will be ready for him. All the kids already been to witch school. That's all Harry Potter is. Harry Potter's a young boy who goes to witch school and learns all the black magic. That's all it is. He goes to witchcraft school. All these kids done learned the witchcraft. And then all the young adults, young women done fell in love with the Antichrist. Giants. Honey, me and you are facing giants in this hour. You want to know why we're praying like we're praying around here? Seeking the Lord, standing on the Word of God, gathering up in here. I'm going to tell you something, there's giants. And the Antichrist done took over most of the churches. Baptist churches. Southern or independent. He's done took over most of them. He's done running the churches. This contemporary movement. I'm just going on here tonight. Am I all right? This contemporary movement is the only thing I've ever seen with a little more widespread reach and influence than the old charismatic movement. The charismatic movement got everybody to drop their ecumenical walls. Drop your doctrine and just hug everybody. But the contemporary movement has invaded and is twice as powerful as the charismatic movement ever was. Rick Warren prayed. The inaugural prayer for Barack Hussein Obama. Honey, when a Muslim thinks it's all right to get a Christian preacher and let him do the praying for him, you're in bad shape. You can Google it. Get one of these teenagers to Google it on their smartphone. We can pull the prayer up right here. When Rick Warren got done a praying, he said, in the name of Issa. It's the Muslim Jesus. He mentioned 3 other names and then finally the name of Jesus. He included everybody's Jesus, but the Muslim Jesus first. Honey, I got news for you. There's giants. This depression and stress is real. It is a dark, heavy blanket and it affects many of us much of the time because it hovers over our nation. We do have a mental sickness. It is an emotional sickness, but it all stems from a spiritual sickness. You cannot hold the Lord Jesus in your arms intimately for a season and a span and then walk away and keep your sound mind. America has done that. There are 2 men committed suicide in Matthew 27. One was Judas, one was Pilate. Took Pilate 10 years. He only knew Jesus 2 days. But he rejected him. And 10 years later, the last 5 years he's insane and then he hung himself 10 years later. But Judas knew him intimately, personally, 3.5 years. And soon as he betrayed him, he went out the next day and hung himself. You cannot know him, reject him, walk away, and keep a sound mind. And America has known him. He has been here. He has walked with us and talked with us and stood with us. I personally believe America holds a special place in the providential power workings of God amongst the nations. He kept this side of the world sheltered, if you would, and hid for a time and a season. And he wanted a place to put his church and a place to put his little flock and a place to send missions and a place to look for. He and brother, America has served and we've held him. We come out of World War II. We went from being a nation of farmers to a nation of factories. Come out of there in the roaring 50s, men made money. Women decided to stay on the job and decided that fellow they was working with looked better than their husband, and they learned how to smoke cigarettes, wear men's clothes, and run off with somebody else's husband. And she became uncovered. And there's no power. The American woman has no power to resist them fallen, seducing angels that are coming after their head. They're uncovered and they're at his mercy, and he has no mercy. And the men don't give a rip because they've learned to love sin. They've loved their sins and loved their toys and loved their idols. And the devil's given the American men a real party. She made money in the 50s. And brother, she turned to the music in the 60s. And here came hell. And in the 70s, the drugs took over. And in the 80s, the heavy metal took over. And then in the 90s, everybody lost their mind because they lost their mother, because she lost her morals. Because she lost her mate. She lost the man. And we're easy prey. And here's Satan. And he's a walking through. And me and you are dealing with giants. Living with giants. But I want you to know, though there were giants there, that ain't the only thing that was there. I'm in verse 5. I almost ran. I didn't even read it out loud. I just looked at it and almost ran. It says, and God. He wasn't done. The Bible could have ended right there, Brother Buchanan. Satan took it over and God dumped it all into hell. But God wasn't done. That and is a connector. It's a bridge. That and is a conjunction, a bridge, a connector that leaves the old place and goes to a new place. Anywhere God puts an and in your life, say bye to yesterday and hello tomorrow. You're going somewhere else. Yes. And God. I'm glad that God was on the scene then and God's on the scene now. Now let's read it clearly and correctly. And God did. And God intervened. And God ran down there and straightened it all out. Y'all ain't with me. Some of y'all been wondering why he allows these things to go on. We better believe one thing, he's just seeing it. And God saw. He's a looking tonight. He's a looking down tonight. He sees the apostates apostatizing. He sees all the preachers taking the bribe. He sees the ones staying true. He sees all the teenagers and all the youngins going right to hell, enjoying the pleasures of sin for a season. But he sees the handful that say, we're going to be a Daniel. We're going to go with God. He sees you crying. He sees you suffering. He sees the saints crying out, Lord, how long? And God saw. He's a looking down. You better believe one thing. He's going to straighten things out when he's ready. But he's a keeping record. He's a God who records. He's a God who recalls. He's a God who revisits. He's a God who recompenses. He's a God who reconciles. He saw. God saw. He saw their sin. That ain't all he saw. He saw something else. What does verse 8 say? But Noah found grace. Now, how did grace get in the picture? Noah couldn't have deserved it, or it wouldn't have been grace. Noah had to have been an old messed up sinner just like the rest of them. He just hadn't given himself to devils. Hadn't given his family to devils. Hadn't let devils come in. Found. If you find something, you've been looking for it. Y'all been looking around here. Been seeking. Noah found. He's looking for it. Where did he find it? It's not a trick question. But Noah found grace. Where did he find it? Oh, really? So we got God looking down. And there's one old boy. Get my gap down here. There's one old boy looking up. He found it in the eyes. He's looking for it. Wonder where he learned to look. Do you know Noah was the first one to live that never had seen his granddaddy Adam? All the rest of them saw him. That whole line of boys. Methuselah. He come from a generation of men, a genealogy, a lineage of men who were God's men. He knew where to look. Some of y'all need to slap the wooden bench 3 times, take off and run outside and holler about 20 minutes. That there's 7 billion people on the planet that have no idea where to look. But you know where to look.
Amen.
God is a looking down. Noah was a looking up. You reckon it's got anything to do with why the rainbow's the sign? What happens every time you see a rainbow? I don't care how old you are, how young you are, you always say the same thing. One word starts with L. Tell me. What do you say to see a rainbow? Look! God had said, I shall look upon it.
Right?
And he sees the whole. The astronauts, one of the amazing things, they come back. The astronauts in outer space said one of the most beautiful things they saw was the whole rainbow. Rainbow's a perfect sphere, circle. You never see it on this side. We're standing on the earth. We only see the half. But on the other side, God sees the whole. Y'all need to quit worrying about how this thing's going to work out. All things work together. He sees the whole. Now, I wonder if that could be a clue to why the rainbow. Because man's going to look. God said, I'm going to look. I will look upon my bow. And an old mountain preacher told me, said, whether you know it or not, every man that ever looks up at a rainbow is looking in the eyes of God through a covenant of mercy. Y'all don't even know it. You get your youngins out there in family, look! And you're looking through the 7 primary colors that surround the throne of God. Woo! You're looking in the eyes of God through a covenant of mercy. Don't even know it. I got to tell you about Bojack. And I'm at the end of my sermon. Problem. I got to tell you about Bojack. True story. I preached at the Wahoo Baptist Church. Appalachian Mountains in North Georgia. I'm talking. I'm talking about hillbillies, spelled with H-E-E-L. Hillbillies. Wahoo! Oh, Indian name. I told the preacher there, I said, you need to name your church Wahoo.com. You'd get 1 million hits by accident. Wahoo.com. Yeah. He's got a little boy there. They got the old amen sections. They got them old wooden pews. They're all come out there. But they got them wooden pews, 3 of them. Yeah. With the deacons and the preachers and the presbytery, the general elders of the presbytery sit there. And if it's going good, then amen. If it's going bad, it's a bless them, Lord. Bless them, Lord. A lot of my sermons, they just hang their heads and say, bless him, Lord.
Boy's trying to push a rock uphill. Help him, God. Bojack is a little old feller and ain't much taller than this. Wears overalls, carries a Bible big as him. His daddy's 6'4", 340 pounds, and none of it jiggles when I hit him. And I only hit him when I'm preaching. It's like hitting a brick house. Dowdy's his last name. I always say, howdy, Dowdy. John Dowdy. I live in a compound on the side of a hill. Used to cook the crystal meth. Biggest drug dealer in town. He got saved in jail. Come down there and made the associate pastor of the Wahoo Baptist Church. Jail ministry. Dowdy. Big old monster of a thing. And the wife, you're going to think I can introduce you to her. I ain't a lie. She ain't much taller than that and ain't much bigger than that. I say, howdy, Miss Dowdy. You must be rowdy to handle Big Dowdy. Bojack is little like his mama, but nobody's told him. He thinks he's big as his daddy. He come down the middle aisle discerning spirits left and right. Sat right there in the amen corner with the general council, the presbyter, and the elders. Sat on the bed, throwed his leg over there, and the first time I preached there with him sitting there, he said, you done all right. Come back tomorrow night and try again. Intimidated me. I apologize. I will. I'll pray a little more and try to study. I'm sorry. Come back tomorrow night and try again. He just said, old Dowdy. Bojack's what they call him. Probably the birth certificate name. Bojack. True story. He struts. He don't walk. He struts. It's what you get raising kids around fighting roosters. He just... Well, they had a big coon hunt. His daddy, John Dowdy, his daddy told me this story. They had a big coon hunt. The man had a $50,000 coon dog. We got any coon hunters in here? Yeah, half a dozen. And it wasn't a Christian event. It was just something that all... Man had that big state champion, national champion, coon dog. And they went up there and they was in a big circle getting ready to get the 3-day event started. And somebody said, I don't even know where it came from. Somebody ought to lead us in prayer. And they're more heathen there than they were Christians. And little Bojack elected and candidated and campaigned himself and nominated himself. His daddy said, he just stepped out in the middle of everybody. And look out there, and they all got quiet. Little Moses part the Red Sea. He said, Bojack got down on one knee, pointed to the heavens, prayed several minutes, called on God, stood up. His daddy told me, Daddy Dowdy told me, said we got a phone call a week later and it was that man with that champion dog. He's lost. Wicked man. Said he's crying. Said, I can't get that little fellow's prayer. I can't get it off of me. He said, you bring that little fella back over here. I want to give him. Said, my dog has had a litter of puppies. And I want to let him have his pick of the litter. And them little puppies was $3,000, as they were. And the story goes like this. They got over there and Brother John said, he's talking to that man, witnessing to him. And I don't know whatever happened of that, but he's a witnessing to him. Man was weeping. And they took little Bojack over and said, just pick out whichever one you want, son. There's a whole pile of them in that litter. And when they come back over there, he'd picked out the runt. it was a little disfigured. It's the only one that was something wrong with it. It was a runt. The rest of them wouldn't let it eat. His ears, one ear was lower, the other ear was higher. Eyes were slightly crossed. Legs hanging up. Looked just like one of these guys on the front row right here. If you want an idea, any one of those. I'll make your sister mad. Now, that's a fine-looking boy in the end. I don't care to make none of you upset, but you don't upset one of the women in the church. Seth, make a note, Seth. When in revival, upset not the woman of the churches. That old man said, son, now, don't be modest here. I want you to pick out anyone you want. They were all perfect, but this one was messed up. Bo Jack said, I've got my dog. He don't ask questions or leave things hanging. He just... And his daddy said, son, now this man wanted you to... this man wanted you to pick out anything you wanted. And John told me, said, my boy knows coon dogs. He knows what he's doing. And he said, Daddy, I've got my dog. Okay. Said he's going down the road 20 minutes later, and he asked the son, son, now you know coon dogs as good as your daddy. Why'd you get that old messed up runt? He said, Daddy, when y'all wasn't looking, I leaned over there and called down to him and said, he's the only one that looked up. He said, Daddy, I know he's the only one messed up, but he's the only one that wanted me. I said, Daddy, when he looked up, he never would look back down. He just kept looking at me. He said, none of the rest of them wanted me. Said, he wanted me, and all of a sudden, I just wanted him. He said, I don't care that he's messed up. Said, he knew he was my dog. I knew he was my dog. And God was looking down. I wonder if he called down in there amongst them. And they wasn't but one that looked back up. And just kept looking. I'm so messed up in some ways I'd never even tell y'all about it. But on July the 29th, 1982, he hollered down in there amongst us. I looked up and I ain't never seen anything else worth looking at since.
Hallelujah.
And that's where we're at tonight. That's where we're at tonight. There's just a few churches looking up. You better believe he's looking down. He sees all them churches trying to please the world. He sees all them hireling preachers trying to please the board. He sees all them evangelists trying to get the money. He sees all them preachers trying to keep the members. He sees all them Americans going after the dollar bill and after all the bribes. And he knows the one that's looking for him. He sees... Y'all been at this several weeks now down here. He's a watching. He's a looking.
Yes, he is.
He'd love to just throw a rainbow in the sky right between y'all and him. Make it easy to look up. Make you want to look up.
Make a covenant with him.
At Revelation 4, the rainbow's round about the throne. He sits inside that and he looks through a covenant of mercy. I got to tell this third time. The Lord reminded me to tell it tonight. I'll tell this and I'll be done. Can you softly play for us, sis? This true story, my old papaw, my mama's daddy, he's an old timer, dug wells, planted gardens, pastored churches, wore them overhauls, old country man. Built his house in 1948, come out of World War II. Built his house for $450, 1948. Step granny's still living in it tonight. That's another story. She's born on Halloween. That's another story. God saw. My old papa was a circuit riding preacher. He just preached in them mountains. They told this at his funeral. He had told it to me one time. He's just a young boy, Brother Seth, maybe 19, 20. And on a Sunday evening, he's supposed to go to a little church up above Appleson. 7 miles, one way, through the mountains, walking. It was storming. The sky was black. The trees were thrashing. It wasn't raining. It was storming. He stood on the front porch, and he argued with the Lord for just a minute. He said, I'm going to slip and fall off the side of one of them mountains if I go. I'll catch pneumonia, die of pneumonia, back when people died of pneumonia. And the Lord said, get on out there for me. He went out in the water that night, walked. When he got there, sure enough, nobody was there. One little old woman that lived by the church, she walked over there. Patted his cheeks. Brother John, I can't believe you came out here in this. He prayed with her. And she went back to her house. And he said, Lord, I told you, nobody would be here. He had hurt himself, slipped and fell 2 or 3 times, cut and scraped. Made his way back. He got sick off of it. Not for long, but he got sick. But he went out in the water for the Lord that night. God saw. That may be why I get to stand here tonight. I'm inheriting houses I didn't build, and olives that I didn't plant, groves that I didn't dig. And I know it. I'm grateful for it. That's why I give it all I got and just keep it going. I didn't deserve something. Somebody went before me. He found himself in World War II on a big ocean liner, big warship off the coast of Greenland. It was dark. There was a storm. The siren went off. The captain's voice came over the speakers. There's a German submarine locked onto us. They said, torpedoes will be here any second now. Life vests, life boats, bail out. They're locked on us. Siren going off. Captain warning the men. Most of the men in the lower decks knew they were going to die. Couldn't even get out. Panicking, running over each other. The men on the top were jumping, screaming, jumping over. My papa said this, Brother Woods. When he's standing there, he had his... Just happened to be standing there looking over, had his hand on the rail. And he said, before he could turn loose to get ready to bail out, the Holy Ghost stood up in his heart and said, John, do you remember one night you went out in the water for me? Said, tonight, I'm going to go out in the water for you. And he said, a peace that the world cannot give. Got so strong in him, he never turned loose of the rail.
They were screaming, scrambling, jumping. 10 seconds went by, no torpedo, 30 seconds. A minute, you know where this is going. 5 minutes, 10 minutes, no torpedoes. After 15 minutes, half the men in the water in lifeboat. Done had a word from his God. Who remembers? He records. He rewards. He don't forget. Everything you've ever done for Him, He has promised. He will not forget. Said the captain's voice came on after 20 minutes. Here's what his announcement was. We knew he was locked on us for a long time. Then he got the torpedoes on us. He said, but right when I made the announcement, it all went away. There's a German submarine somewhere in hell. God just yanked it right down in the hell. They'd be like, we don't need a submarine down here, but that's where we're at. God, you know there's one in it. God yanked that thing. Said, I got a preacher up there. He's going to have a daughter named Glenda. She's going to be pure and be a prayer warrior. She's going to have 4 preaching sons. I know that we're dealing with nations here tonight, but I also got my elect. And I'm going to have to step in this nation business because I got a preacher over here. Somewhere there's a submarine spinning still in the bottom of the oceans. And God saw Noah found grace. I looked up and he was looking down. He just put a covenant between us of beautiful mercy. Keep looking up. Aren't you glad he picked you out one day? Let's all stand. Our heads are bowed. You do whatever you need to tonight. If you're lost, you ought to come be saved. Come to Christ. He'll save you.